Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
This is a simple game. You throw the ball, you hit the ball, you catch the ball. You got it!
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz. Brought to you by Jordan's Furniture, Bing Y World Class Market, Brennan Smoke Shop, Rodenheiser Plumbing, Heating, AC and Electric, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Advanced Auto Parts, U.S. Marker Board, Boston Volkswagen, Gravely Zero Turn Lawnmower, Foxwoods Resort Casino, Jackson Lumber, and Mass General Cancer Center. On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Frazier's 2-2. Struck him out! Red Sox win it! 2-0. You talk about brilliant pitching, and the Red Sox make a statement here in game number one.
Dave O'Brien was fired up last night. Fired up Dave O'Brien. In fact, if you listen to some of those run calls late in that game, and I say some of, there was one run late in the game, one run early in the game. That was it last night in Minnesota. David O'Brien, play-by-play man of the Red Sox on NESN, he was fired up last night. And you know what? I get the sense that Red Sox fans were too. I get the sense that Red Sox fans were a little fired up last night. Maybe it's just me, but you tell me if you were watching the game. I don't know. Felt a little bit like a different game, right? Can you tell me why that is? You know why it felt like a real game last night? You know why, Murray? You know why, Billy Lanny? You know why it felt different?
Pitcher's duel went fast.
Because it was a real baseball game. It was a real baseball game. That's why, because you didn't have some jackass Triple-A team on the other side, like the Orioles, offering you crap competition. It was a real opponent with a real record, the best record in baseball, two good pitchers on the mound, and every play and every at-bat mattered. That's why it felt different. And so let me tell you this up front. The Red Sox last night, give them credit. They got a good win last night. 2-0 over the Minnesota Twins, which leads me to this question. If you are a Red Sox fan this year, do you care who they beat? Do you just want wins? Or does the opponent matter? Does the quality of the win matter? So we've had a little debate on the afternoon program about the strength of schedule in Major League Baseball. Does it really translate? Does it matter? Because last year I told you that overall, against Houston, New York, Cleveland, the Red Sox had a losing record. Then they got into the playoffs and cleaned up on those clubs. But you know what? Watching that game last night, I have to admit, you know what I found? The opponent mattered. I wanted to see the Red Sox beat a good team last night. I wanted to see them beat someone legitimate other than the Kansas City Royals or the Baltimore Orioles. And again, I'm really going on the last couple of series against Baltimore and Kansas City because the Red Sox went 6-0 in those two series. And they were going into last night, they were 500. So the point is that they could beat the worst teams in baseball, but they couldn't beat anybody else. I need to see them beat good competition. I need to see it. Because there's this reality with the Red Sox this year that's hard to overlook. So you can tell me that strength of schedule at the end of the day doesn't matter. What I will tell you, though, is that the pattern with this team this year has been alarming. The Red Sox have played 8 series this season against New York, Houston, Tampa Bay, and Cleveland, which I would argue are the other 4 best teams in the American League. If you would ask me going into the season, I would think it was those teams. New York, Houston, Tampa Bay, and Cleveland. The Red Sox had 8 series this year against those 4 teams going into last night. You know how many of those series they had won? One series win all year long. They were 1-7 against those teams. 1-7. And then they come out last night and beat the Twins 2-0. So I'm going to tell you that that win doesn't mean anything. No, I think it does. Now, look, again, I want to see what I would tell you this really more than anything. The series means something to me. I want to see the Red Sox win this series. They have David Price on the mound tonight. It's a favorable pitching matchup against Michael Pineda. I would like to see the Red Sox win this series tonight. Would be a good way to do it. And then that opens the door for a potential sweep in the finale tomorrow. Now, sweeping the Twins and sweeping the Orioles, or sweeping the Orioles, those two things, are they equal? Ultimately, that's a question to you as a Red Sox fan.
Of course it isn't.
Sweeping the Orioles over the weekend or sweeping the Twins? They're both worth 3 wins. Are they the same? Are they really the same? Murray?
No, absolutely not.
To say that they're the same is asinine. It's asinine. Of course they're not the same. And you know what? Even the Red Sox players know this. So, for example, and this is a quick cut. Rick Porcello was asked about the quality of the competition. He was asked about the quality of the competition going in and facing the Twins. And you know what Porcello said? Here's what he said.
Yeah, I just feel like if we play the baseball that we know we're capable of playing, it shouldn't matter the opponent. We should be fine against anyone.
Oh, Rick Porcello couldn't be more right. If the Red Sox play the way they are capable of playing, they should be able to beat everybody. At the end of the day, that's really what it's about. They should be able to beat everybody. And last night, they went into Minnesota against a team that has the best, or had the best, record in baseball. They still might. I didn't recheck today. But the Red Sox played a good, complete game. They got some help from the Twins, maybe a little too much help. But they won a 2-0 game. That was a real baseball game. Real baseball game. So you tell me, if they win a series like this, and then they can carry the momentum going forward, and they can carry it into the All-Star break, do they start to change your mind about who they are? Because I admit, last night, albeit a very, very incremental step, that was a good win, is the kind of thing I've been waiting to see from this team all year long. The question is, does it do anything to change your mind about who they are or who they have been to this point? 617-779-0985. Chuck in a car is already on the phone. We'll get to him in 1 second. A couple of other things I want to get to. The breakdowns of the Twins last night. Mookie Betts in the 8th inning did something I thought is absolutely inexcusable. The bullpen and the guys that Alex Cora relied on last night. And then two stories, really, on the broader scope of Major League Baseball. One concerns the umpires, which has sent Murray into orbit. And one concerns something that happened in the game between St. Louis and Miami last night that I think doesn't happen enough in Major League Baseball. We'll get to all those here over the course of the next 49 minutes or so. Again, 617-779-0985. We'll kick it off tonight with Chuck, who's in a car. Chuck, what do you got?
Hey, Matt, to answer your question, does it change my opinion about who the Sox are this year? My answer is no, and I'll tell you why. It's because of the closing situation. As great as that game was last night, when I saw Brazier coming in the ninth, I was worried. And
okay, but Chuck, you know that that's fixable, yeah, right? I mean, you can go out and get relief help. So I'll tell you what, take the bullpen out of it. Take the bullpen out of it, because we all agree that the bullpen's an issue going forward, right? That has to be addressed. But in terms I'm talking about the overall sort of mindset of the team. Did you see any difference last night?
Absolutely. It's a total difference. Because like we said all year, they've got the talent. It's just a matter of time where they're putting things together. And guys can only get better. I mean, Mookie Betts is going to get better. Bogarts is leading the team in RBIs. I mean, he's even going to get better on top of that. So, yeah, but let's see what they're going to do. What about the Yankee move and picking up Encarnacion there? I mean, what was that all about?
Okay, so look, I was surprised by it, too. I didn't think the Yankees needed another bat in the lineup. They went out and got Edwin Encarnacion over the weekend. Giancarlo Stanton will return to the lineup tonight, also for the Yankees, and Aaron Judge is not far from a return. So the point being that in the division, and the Red Sox are 7 behind New York in the loss column, the Yankees beat Tampa last night, which may actually do the Red Sox a favor, although I think that if you still have designs on the division, you're better off having Tampa win those games in New York. Okay, because you want the whole thing to tighten up. Gaining on Tampa alone doesn't do a whole hell of a lot for you. You got to gain on the Yankees. But the Yankees offense now is prolific. I think this also gives them the opportunity to trade Frazier for Clint Frazier, the outfielder, for pitching. So New York's going to be harder to catch, which means it's even that more important for the Red Sox to play well and play well against good teams. But Rick Porcello's right. If they play well against good teams, if they play well, period, they should be able to beat anybody. It doesn't matter who the opponent is, which really is the best way to crystallize what has happened here in the first half of this Red Sox season. No matter who they play, they have the ability to beat them. We saw that last year. Keith's in the car. Keith, go.
Tony, you're out of your mind. I actually learned from you that baseball is a numbers game, and you always said, look, you're supposed to win the majority of your home games and then split on the road, and that what gets you there. Teams don't matter. It's a numbers game, and I learned that from you, my friend.
Okay, so look, again, I would tell you that overall at the end of the year that is true. I would tell you, though, with this Red Sox team, you know what the number one obstacle has been, really? And you can tell me it's their inability to beat up on bad teams. I don't think that's true. I think it's their ability to compete with the good ones. They've gotten their ass kicked by these teams every time they play them. They've lost every series pretty much against Houston, New York, Cleveland, all of them, all the good teams in the American League. They've lost every series, just about every one. Now they beat a good team. See, I'm going to be consistent about this, and I'm not going to tell you that I think that it doesn't mean anything to beat a team like the Twins. I believe in beating good teams. And I also think it can do something for the confidence of the club. And now, for the first time, just a hint, I'm starting to think that they're coming out of it. A win like last night changes my mindset as to where they are. Caller a second ago mentioned Mookie Betts. Let me ask you guys real quick, Billy Lanny, Jim Murray, and just keep it tight.
Sure.
What grade would you give Mookie Betts right now for the season?
C.
Billy?
Yeah, I'm with Murray.
C? I mean, I can't imagine giving him anything any higher. I mean, if you talk about disappointing guys on the Red Sox, Mookie Betts is near the top of the list.
Yeah, I think it's fair to factor in how he played last year, his MVP season. You have to consider that and how he's played this year. So it's a C.
And he did something last night that I think really is borderline unconscionable. Unconscionable from a baseball perspective. We'll tell you what that is when we come back.
The show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. Baseball Reporters, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Showing bunt, and he'll take a ball.
That's surprising. Something they don't do very much at all, sacrifice.
Right-hander from Dallas fires. He is bunting. Gets it down. Brewer will go to first base. He fires on in time for the out. That'll advance Scope into third. Kepler into second on the sacrifice. And that'll bring up Big Nelson Cruz. Dribbled back to Brewer. They're sending the runner home. The shovel. And now they've got him in a rundown. Scope trying to get back. Devers giving chase. And he will apply the tag. They sent the runner home. And they got him. Two down.
Well, that was exceptionally large for the Red Sox. And a very good play by Brewer. He checks the runner. Gets him back. Now, I don't understand why the runner at third base is going back to second. Because they're going to get this guy in the rundown anyway. He's going to be out. So the runner at second should be at third in this situation.
It's one of the key moments in the Red Sox win over the Twins last night in Minnesota. If you missed the game, I'm going to spell this out for you because it may have been a little hard to follow there. If you watch the game, you recognize the sequence. It was enormous. Bottom of the eighth inning, the Red Sox are still leading 1-0 at the time. The Red Sox scored in the top of the first last night and then didn't score again until the end of the game. And the run held up. And this is what I mean, by the way, when I say if you get a 1-0 lead and you're going up against a good pitcher, make the win stand up. Make the run stand up. This is what I say about Chris Sale all the time. Rick Porcello last night going up against Jose Berríos. Berríos is good, man. He's a good pitcher. And a nasty breaking ball. And I like Berríos 2 or 3 years ago when I first saw him. I said, this kid's going to be good. Not that I'm any sort of rocket scientist, because God knows I'm wrong 99% of the time. But Berríos I liked. And last night, the Red Sox are still up 1-0 going into the bottom of the eighth. Colton Brewer comes in to pitch, which is a story unto itself. But anyway, Scope singles, Kepler walks. So now in a 1-0 game, you've got first and second with nobody out. So let me ask you, if you were the manager of a baseball team and you have first and second with nobody out in the 8th inning at home, trailing 1-0, and the leading hitter in the league comes up in Jorge Polanco, right now the batting champion in the American League. And you know what Rocco Baldelli had him do? Bunt. Bunt. So think of this. If Polanco hits into a double play and you end up with a man on third, two outs. If you bunt, you get second and third, one out. The point being, all you gain really from the bunt is the guy getting to second base. You save an out. Okay, you save an out, but all you get is that extra 90 feet, and that run doesn't even, I mean, that run puts you ahead, but you got to get the tying run home really more than anything. He should have let Polanco hit. He didn't. Polanco gets the runners over, and then the Red Sox get a tapper back to the mound. They catch the runner in a rundown, and Max Kepler, who was on second, if you didn't see this play, Max Kepler, who was on second base, goes 90% of the way to third when Scope gets caught in the rundown, and then turns around and runs all the way back. He goes back to second base. They get Scope out, and the Twins get nothing out of that inning. What a colossal mistake all the way around. The Twins had the Red Sox on the ropes in that inning with Colton Brewer and Ryan Brazier lined up to pitch the last two innings, and the Twins blew it. So maybe the Red Sox luck is turning a little bit. Maybe, they're starting to get something together in that bullpen, because I was surprised to see Brewer and Brazier come in that game. No Workman, no Barnes. If you're worried about the bullpen, you should still be worried about it. Ultimately, though, the Red Sox dodge a landmine, sidestep a landmine. They get through that inning, and they win the game 2-0 because they score in the 9th. I want to get to what happened in the top of the 8th, too, because the Red Sox failed in their own right there, but I'll get to that in a second. Billy, my call screener was locked up. I don't know if you could punch up Dante and Linfield on line one. Dante, what do you got, pal?
Hey, Tony, first things first. I honestly think if you're looking for the Red Sox to beat a good team, you're going to have to look elsewhere. I really do expect, I fully expect this Minnesota Twins team to turn into a pumpkin by the end of July. I think they'll be out of it. I really don't see a playoff team there. And then in terms of the progress of the bullpen, it started off rocky, obviously, but I was encouraged with Brewer showing some teeth a little bit, and the improvement there. I like what I've seen out of the Schwerin kid or whatever, however you say his name. But, in terms of building it going forward,
Stop on the first two things. And let me just ask you quickly on the Twins. Why don't you believe in the Twins? Why don't you think they're good?
I just don't see a winning ball club there. I just see, all their guys, granted, they're playing out of their minds. They're playing at their max capabilities. Odorizzi is a career 4 ERA guy. He's not going to sit under 2 the whole year. Kepler's hit more home runs this year than probably has his entire life. It's just the way they're playing is unsustainable, and I just think those guys are not those type of players to, be consistent at that level.
Okay, so I'll tell you what. I think they have some unknowns. Billy, if you could drop them, please, because, again, I'm locked up here. So I think that some of their players are underrated. I think people are overlooking the Twins because they don't have, stellar names. Like, if I said to you, who's the leading hitter in the American League, would you have said Jorge Polanco? No, you wouldn't have. And Rosario, the other kid they have in the outfield, is a dynamite player. They got some good players there, and they did 2 years ago when they made the playoffs. They were in the play-in game 2 years ago. People forget this. Last year was the aberration. The Twins were terribly disappointing last year. So that was the problem. Last year led people to believe that the playoff year was a fluke. And the fluke really was last season. The Twins get some players. They do. They have some players there. Billy, can you punch up the second line, too? It's Chris on the Cape about Ruzne Castillo. Chris, what do you got?
Hey, Maz, love this. I was just wondering if you could clarify why Castillo doesn't get another shot to displace Jackie Bradley Jr. I mean, he just went berserk over a couple of games in AAA, and we're paying him a ton of money.
Okay, so, Billy, if you could drop him, please. We get the Ruzne Castillo call. How often do we get those calls? Murray, do you know the answer?
It's like a handful a year, I feel like.
More. more, like at least a couple a month. And everybody, nobody knows this yet. Like everybody doesn't know this yet. That's a better way to say it. Murray, why won't they call up Ruzne Castillo? Can you give me the abridged version?
Well, one, he sucks, and they also don't want to go over the. You know, it'll cost them too much money.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Ruzne Castillo's not on the payroll right now. If they add him, they go over the luxury tax threshold. The next one. So forget Ruzne. It's not going to happen.
And he sucks.
Okay, it's not going to happen. And again, I'm not sure he can play at the big league level. I would describe him as a 4A player. That's what I would describe him as, which means in that netherworld between AAA and the big leagues. As far as the top of the eighth inning last night, and I'll do this quickly. The Red Sox had a runner on with one out. Jackie Bradley got on base. Okay? We're going to play it for you here, but Bradley is on, and Mookie Betts is at the plate. Hopefully you can follow this. Billy, go ahead and play it.
Two down, top of the eighth inning. Nobody has scored since Mookie did in the first inning. Runner takes off and is inside. Here's the throw down, and he's going to be safe. Jackie Bradley with a theft of second base.
That was an excellent jump at first base by Jackie Bradley. So now he's in scoring position with two outs and the 3-2 count on Betts.
And he just buried that one. 95 miles an hour to strike him out looking. One man left.
So again, Bradley steals second and gets himself into scoring position. This is at the time, a 1-0 game. 1-0 game. Jackie Bradley steals second base to get in scoring position in the top of the eighth. On a night, by the way, where you don't have your best relievers. You don't have Workman, you don't have Barnes. The Red Sox knew this going in. Alex Cora made a comment about having a lot of red marks on his pitching card, meaning those guys were unavailable, or he was going to try to stay away from them. So they had to go Brewer, and they had to go Brazier in the eighth and ninth. Bradley steals second. And you know what Mookie Betts does? The MVP of the league, the guy that people want to compare to Mike Trout here in Boston, you know what Mookie Betts did? He took a fastball for a called strike three right down the middle. Right down the middle. And he knew it. He turned around, walked back to the dugout. Now, obviously, he got fooled on it. How do you not swing at the pitch? How do you not swing at the pitch in a 1-0 game when you haven't had base runners all night long? You get a guy on second base with two outs and two strikes, and you take a fastball right down Broadway to leave a man in scoring position on a night when you don't have your bullpen? Holy crap. I know you guys all love Mookie Betts. I know you do. And he's a good player. He's not Mike Trout. And frankly, I tell you this over and over and over again, and none of you ever want to believe it, and none of you ever want to hear it. He's overrated. Mookie Betts is overrated. Okay? And he's having a disappointing year. So it's easy to pick on him right now, but I told you this last year that he was overrated. I'm not paying Mookie Betts $35 million a year. If his price comes down, great, I'll do it. But not at $35 million a year. He's not that kind of player. He's to mention him in the same breath as Mike Trout, frankly, I think is insulting to Mike Trout. Before we get to Murray's headlines, let me just ask Billy and Murray here quickly. How do you guys feel about the shift in Major League Baseball? Are you anti-shift? Do you think it should be outlawed? What?
I hate it. Outlawed.
I'm on the fence. In the sense that, like, I hate the shift, but then I believe that hitters should be able to adjust and put the ball to the opposite field.
Okay, excellent. That'll lead right into what our next point is. Last night, Billy, in a major league game, a player did what every guy should do against the shift. It's really not that complicated. We'll tell you what that was. Matt Carpenter of the Cardinals. After Murray, get you caught up on headlines.
Sports Hub headlines.
David Price will be on the mound as the Red Sox look to win their seventh in a row. They play the second game of this three-game series in Minnesota against the Twins. As far as the lineups are concerned, Mookie Betts leading off, Rafael Devers batting cleanup, Michael Chavis hitting seventh, Christian Vasquez handling the catching duties for Price. Minnesota counters with Michael Pineda, first pitch 8-10. Celtics' Al Horford declining to exercise his $30 million option for next season. He'll become an unrestricted free agent on June 30th. Kings forward Harrison Barnes also declining his $25 million option.
He'll become an unrestricted free agent. Also the same on the 30th. Yahoo Sports reporting that Chris Paul and James Harden's relationship in Houston is unsalvageable, and that Paul demanded a trade and Harden told the Rockets front office to choose between them after they lost to the Golden State Warriors in the playoffs. Ahead of Thursday night's draft, ESPN reporting the Knicks have declined a recent trade offer that would have sent the number 3 overall draft pick to the Atlanta Hawks in exchange for the 8th and 10th picks. And He Hate Me has gone missing. Police in South Carolina have put out a missing person advisory for former Eagles and Panthers running back Rod Smart, who is perhaps best known for his He Hate Me jersey. When he played in the XFL, he was last seen Wednesday in Indianland, South Carolina. Headlines are brought to you by Foxwoods. Earn points for your chance to attend Big Poppy's charity golf tournament in the Dominican Republic. Learn more at foxwoods.com. I'm Jim Murray for Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 Sports Hub. Next update in 30 minutes. And get your Sports Hub headlines anytime in your flash briefing on your Alexa voice activated speaker.
We have the Sox. The Sox come. This is the Baseball Reporter. Tony Mazzarotta, show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Carpenter against the shift. Nobody there. Why not take two? It'll be the shortest double of his career standing up. Unbelievable. Why not bunt? Of course you bunt. And he picks up a double.
If someone gives you a gift, you accept it. And that's what Matt Carpenter did. The gift was going to be the single. He got a little something extra, put something on it, realized there's nobody over there. He's going to have the opportunity to continue to run.
The exit velocity of 38 miles an hour, literally. I don't understand what the Marlins are doing with one strike there.
Either.
I don't understand that defense.
Maybe they got some numbers we don't have.
Somebody somewhere has numbers. The shift. Oh, the shift. So before the break, I asked a question to Jim Murray and Billy Lanny here. How do you feel about the shift? Because this was something that happened in a game in St. Louis last night between the Cardinals and the Marlins. And for those of you who, didn't hear the last segment, over the year, I used to be pro shift. I used to be like Billy Lanny. Billy says, that he was kind of on the fence. And Billy, if I'm misrepresenting your standpoint here, tell me. Okay, your stance rather here, tell me. Billy said he could go either way on it because he does feel that on some level, a hitter should be able to combat the shift. Is that right, Billy? Is that a fair assessment?
Correct.
Okay. Murray, you say you're against the shift because you think it's gotten ridiculous.
Oh, it's gotten way out of control.
Okay, so last night in St. Louis, they shift on Matt Carpenter, who's a left-handed hitter. All four infielders basically on the right side of second base. The third baseman was playing up the middle. So you know what Carpenter did? He pushed a bunt up the third baseline that just kept rolling. The pitcher actually had to run out and field the ball.
Yeah, I mean, essentially went into left field.
Okay, into short left field, which is basically, the hole between short and third. A shortstop would pick that up, no problem. Carpenter got all the way to second base. He got a double on it. A double on a bunt. To which point I say, why don't more guys do this?
Right, exactly. I'm surprised it doesn't happen more often. I would think it would be an easy way to beat an aggressive shift. Because if you look at that shift, I mean, they're way, way over to the right, the Marlins. And so if you don't like the shift or you don't like teams using it against you, well, teach your guys to bunt or at least bunt the way that Matt Carpenter did because it was a hell of a play that he made.
So this is one of the reasons why I think that baseball now is getting ruined. I mean, the game just sucks because of all the crap that's going on. The people on the field have too much data. They know too much. And it takes away from all this sort of inventive thinking that would otherwise take place. Everybody has it. Everybody has the info. The data all shows the ball goes to that side. So they load up the fielders on that side of the field. And that's it. We had the commissioner on a couple of years ago. I should have had Billy pull this cut, but you know why I didn't? Because I didn't think ahead. Because I'm a moron. Because in sitting there, I said, geez, yeah, we're going to be talking about the shifts. We really should pull that Manfred cut from a couple of years ago where he says that over the span of a few years, shifts went from 3,000 to 30,000. They increased by, 1,000% in the span of a couple of years that everybody gets shifted now because guys don't want to push a bunt the other way because they all believe in hitting the ball out of the ballpark. Again, it's all about, nope, we're not going to give in. We want to hit one into the seats. Let's see if they can execute it. I hate the shift. Hate it. I think they should outlaw it. I do, because teams now do it too much. It's ridiculous. You found the cut, Billy? Oh, God bless you, Billy. Play it. you know, maybe eliminating the shifts, eliminating the number of relief changes. These are all things that you're willing to look at.
Those changes, some of them at least, slightly different motivation. Shifts, for example, I think we went from like 3,000 to 30,000 shifts in a couple of years.
Yeah.
And those shifts alter the game. They change the game because certain types of hitters have less options as to where they can get on base. It encourages two trends that I don't think are positive for the game: more strikeouts and more home runs, because you got nowhere to hit a single, you got no choice but to try to hit it out. That change would be directed at getting more action into the game.
Seriously, I mean, there's not enough action in the game. It's brutal. Now, last night, 2:43, the game was moving quickly. So the shifting drives me bananas. We got a call on the line. Dan in Boston wants to talk about the Padres game and the Machado ejection, which brings me to Jim Murray.
Yeah.
Murray, what do you hate more, the shift or umpires?
Umpires. I am predisposed to hate umpires at every level, Mez. From Little League on up, I hate them. They all try to make it about them. Each and every one of them gets off on the power that they have in policing the game. Ron Culpa literally told the Astros manager earlier this season, I can do whatever I want in a game. I forget who the hell it was against, but it's gotten way out of control. I hate umpires.
Okay, so do you want to fill people in on what happened with Manny Machado a couple of days ago?
Yeah, so yesterday, Manny Machado suspended a game, fined by Major League Baseball, after he aggressively argued a strike three call over the weekend. He threw his bat, and he was ejected from the game. He had a nutty. He had a nutty. He didn't throw his bat at anybody, but he threw it in frustration, and that's all that happened. And now today, in return, so again, suspended a game, the umpires union.
And Machado is appealing the suspension, right?
Yes, Machado's appealing the suspension, and the umpires union had an equal meltdown, at least on social media. They've posted both to Facebook and Twitter, and there's a longer version of this on Facebook, apparently. But on Twitter, it reads as follows. Manny Machado received a one-game suspension for contact with an umpire over balls and strikes, and violently, because they put it in all caps, throwing his bat against the backstop with absolutely no regard to anyone's safety. Violence in the workplace is not tolerated, and offenders are dealt with severely and even made examples of for the good of its employees as well as the company itself. Is this truly what MLB wants to teach our youth? Oh, won't someone please think of the children? So this is what they're doing here. They've these petty a-holes who hold personal grudges against players, and we've seen this time and time again, and some of them act like they're the stars. It's the reason we know names like Angel Hernandez and Ron Culpa, and we shouldn't, because they think that they're the stars of the game. They've now posted these whiny statements on social media that make it look like they come... These were like written by like a heartbroken teenage girl, the way that these things are written, and certain words are in all caps, and won't please someone think of the children and violence in the workplace. He didn't haul off and punch the ump who ejected him from the game. Manny Machado. Again, he threw a bat. He had a meltdown. He got suspended a game. What do they want? Like a 6-month suspension? Do they want him banned for 10, 15, 20 games? They're out of control. I hate them. This is their answer. They post on Facebook and Twitter today this whiny statement, and considering how they all carry themselves, it really is the most appropriate thing, and unprofessional too. Like, and apparently the Players Association and Major League Baseball have put their own statements out saying, like, for all intents and purposes, like, the umps are, you know, the umps have no business putting this out there. This was unprofessional on their behalf. And Tony Clark, who's
the head of the players union,
used that word, unprofessional. But it is. Like, you stupid babies, what the hell do you want here?
So, Murray, again, this was the Twitter account, the Facebook page of the Umpires Association.
Yeah, oh, yeah. So, I'm sorry.
Because the umpires are effectively unionized as well.
Yeah, oh, right? Yeah, no, this is the actual union, blue check mark. They use 12 hashtags with this as well. Hashtag disappointed, hashtag not appreciated, hashtag violence, and on and on and on. It really is. It's such a great microcosm of what stupid babies that they all are. I just hope that I live long enough so that I can see them all lose their jobs and all be replaced by the robots. I hate baseball umpires.
Yeah, don't you know, Murray, the umpires are the story. They're the reason that people...
And that's the reason I feel this way. This might be too much of a harsh critique for some people, but this is why I feel that way. I really believe that so many of these guys, and the reason that we know, was a Quinn Buckner is another name. Like, I shouldn't know these names. None of us should know these names. Ron Culpa, Fat Joe West, Angel Hernandez. We shouldn't know these names, but we do, because they act like it's all about them.
Oh, yeah, no. The people go to the ballparks and turn on the game at night, Murray, whatever few are left, to watch the umpires. That's what they do. This is what Dan in Boston's calling about. Dan, what do you got?
Well, you just kind of stole my thunder about the salty umpires, but I just want to get your thoughts on, I don't know if you saw it, but in that four-game series that they had, they scored 92 runs combined, which I guess I heard on ESPN's of Woody Page. I guess that's the most that's happened in the series in a long time. I just want to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, it was in Colorado. Again, so I look at the whole thing and I say, joke. Joke. Colorado, you might as well play on the moon. One-sixth the gravity of Earth or whatever the hell it is. Colorado's a joke. 92 runs, 93 runs in a four-game series. And what's his name? The outfielder there for the Rockies. Blackman, Charlie Blackman. 15 hits in the four games. Four hits, and then three. He had a chance to have four-hit games in all four games of that series. Coors Field is an effing joke for all you fantasy players. That place is a joke. It's everything that's wrong with the game. Grant is in Hopkinton. What do you got, Grant?
Mass, I don't understand. There are nine players on the defensive side of the field. They can all sit on first base. They can all sit in right field. They can all sit in left field. Why do you think that the shift should be outlawed? They can place their defensive players wherever they want. It doesn't make sense to me.
It's ruining the game, Grant. It's ruining the game. Because all these a-holes now with all this data, they just load up the fielders over there, and the hitters are too dumb or stubborn or both to actually hit the ball to the other side. It bugs the crap out of me. It has destroyed the game. One of the elements that's destroyed the game, along with the fact that it takes the freaking pitchers, like the guy tonight, by the way, David Price, because it takes him a minute between pitchers on the mound. It has taken all the fun out of baseball. All the fun. It used to be that you could actually see action from pitch to pitch and play to play. You could see a hit and run or a stolen base or a single in a right field and the guy go first to third. Now with that stupid-ass shift, you know what you get? Strikeouts, walks, and home runs. That's it. The ball's never in play anymore, and the game takes longer than ever. So again, it takes longer, but less happens. What a complete waste of time. If these guys are going to ruin it, then you have to put rules in place that prevent them from ruining it. And the players are the worst culprits, by the way. You can't change the game. Oh, this is the way we've done it for 100 years. Yeah. You can't change the game. This is the way it is. You're affecting history. No. You're affecting my enjoyment. You're affecting my entertainment. That's what you're affecting. You've ruined it. You've bastardized the game. Oh, God, I hate it. The metrics have killed the game. It's maddening. Absolutely maddening with all the data bullcrap that they pull in these games. It's not baseball anymore. It's freaking home run derby. And it takes 4 hours. How could you like that? My God, there's no action in it. I like baseball my whole life. Right now, I think it sucks.
Preach.
Oh, God, the game blows. It blows right now. And they're doing the same crap over and over again. They threaten to change the rules, and they never do. Change the effing rules. The game sucks right now. It sucks. Oh, piss me off. Struck a nerve there, Mark.
Yeah, clearly. I like
it. Oh, God, why am I against the shifts? Do you watch these things? Oh, God, put four guys on the right side, pitch him inside, he hits a ground ball to second, inning over, or he jacks one of the seats, or more than likely he strikes out or walks. It's the same crap over and over again. There's no variety to it. Who could possibly like that? What's wrong with you people? My God. We'll give you the matchup of the day and check in with Adam Jones next.
Tonight's Baseball Reporter is brought to you by D'Amico Dental Care in Watertown, using digital 3D technology to design crowns, veneers, and implant placement to create your new smile. Schedule today and experience the digital difference at D'AmicoDMD.com.
This is the Baseball Reporters.
Which makes all the sense in the world if you're the Red Sox.
With Tony Maserati, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The vibe is different. I'll tell you that right now. You know, there's no more searching. And you feel it. You come to the ballpark every day now, and it feels like last year. And we're finding ways to beat teams, you know. But you got to a point there, we were searching for, you know, mechanics and swings and, you know, whatever. You know, and now it's different. Now it's just a matter of put everything together.
What are you doing? I was ready to just give you the matchup of the game here. Toss to Murray, ignore Jones, and go home. I was ready to do all of that right now. I was ready to do all of it. And then Alex Cora sound pregame landed in my inbox. And he says this, Billy, can we play this again? This is Alex Cora asked about whether he thinks things around the team have changed. They won one game to start a series. I told you earlier, just a smidge, I started to feel like it was going in the right direction. Just a whisker. Like, ooh, they beat a good team in the opener of a series. This is a good sign. Maybe there's actually something here, but they have to still win the series. Then before the game, Alex Cora says this.
The vibe is different. I'll tell you that right now. You know, there's no more searching. And you feel it. You come to a ballpark every day now, and it feels like last year.
Talk about jinxing the crap out of that game tonight. You come to the ballpark now, and it feels like last year, so these are the 108-win Red Sox now. It's all fixed. One game in Minnesota, it's all fixed.
Yeah, I presume so, yeah.
Oh, my God, what a mistake. What a mistake. Why are you saying that? This is how they got in trouble in the first place.
No, nope, all fixed. JBJ for MVP.
Again, this is how they got in trouble in the first place. The idea that we don't want to turn the page. It's 2018 still. Now this is how it felt last year. This is a mistake. Mark my words, they're going to get their asses kicked tonight. They are going to get their asses kicked tonight. Mark my words. Oh, what a mistake. We're going to do more of this tomorrow after they lose. What a mistake. I can't believe Cora said that. What? Oh. I was going to go home in a good mood tonight, too. I was this close.
No, savor this. Keep this. Harness this. Bring it back at 2 tomorrow.
Are you saying the vibe has changed, Tony?
Oh, God. My vibe was good going out that door. Now he just effed it up. He screwed up my vibe. My flow. Completely screwed up my flow. Big matchup of the game presented by Big Y World Class Market, serving the Massachusetts community for over 80 years. David Price against Nelson Cruz, 290 for Cruz, two homers, and an OPS over 817. Over 800, it's 817 exactly. So keep an eye on Cruz against Price. Meanwhile, Mookie Betts, who really needs to wake up and start playing like the MVP that you tell me he is, 986 OPS against Michael Pineda. He, the guy who likes to wear the pine tar on his neck when he pitches against the Red Sox, he's now a member of the Twins. Adam Jones coming up. Can you tell me what you got in like 10 seconds?
Yes. The mood has changed for you. You're all riled up. I had a little extra pep in my step when I saw that Al Horford opted out earlier today. So we'll begin with that.
Man, my flow. I had a good flow for the ride home, too. I did. Now it's gone.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.